University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Stephen Grable today. Dr. Grable is a family practice physician, 35 plus years board certified, practicing right there on Roberts Road in Jacksonville Beach area, right behind the Baptist Hospital. Personal friend, I'm thankful for his relationship. I'm thankful for his medical care for our family and for his reputation with knowing what he's doing, if you want to use that term from a layman's standpoint, of what he's doing medically speaking. We have Dr. Grable with us today, and I'm thankful for his conversation. Dr. Grable, just before the news break, we're talking about the mRNA and what it does to the body with the injection of the COVID vaccination. And we're talking about today, as you know, after COVID, what? There are millions of people that have taken the COVID shot. It was mandated. By the way, and you know this, and I'm sure that you would respond to it, there's not any mandate for all Congress, House or the Senate, to take the vaccination. Those that are involved in CDC, FDA, NIH, all of the staff members and the employees there were not required to take the vaccination. Does that show that there's a problem that they knew of? And if that, as you were talking about before the news break, changes the DNA in the human body, what should we do today? Those that are listening, perhaps in dilemma, saying, well, I took the vaccination. What does that mean? Speak to those for a moment that would be encouraging and a protocol that you would recommend.
So, in general, what I recommend, we talk about the spike protein, trying to keep that suppressed and mitigated. So, there are 3 items that have been commonly used: nattokinase, bromelain, and curcumin. The nattokinase is an enzyme. It's in the family of what are called proteolytic enzymes. These enzymes can help the body in general by helping to reduce inflammation in the blood. But it appears that nattokinase also has the ability to reduce or negate spike protein. So I take 2 of those twice a day myself. Bromelain is an enzyme that is made from pineapple. And bromelain also appears to help mitigate spike protein, so I take 1 of those twice a day. And then I take a product called nanocurcumin, comes from One Planet Nutrition, because the curcumin isn't generally absorbed terribly well, so when you make it very small in the nano size, it's absorbed better. So I take 1 of those twice a day. And as I tell them, as I joke with my patients, I have expensive urine. So I take 1 other additional thing that's also made the press lately is a special NAC, N-acetylcysteine, called augmented NAC. And this is made by a company called Modern Elements. And there's some evidence that that can also help to reduce spike protein. So I take one of those twice a day. So nattokinase, they're usually about 2,000 units. I take two of those twice a day, bromelain one twice a day, nanocurcumin one twice a day, and the augmented NAC one twice a day. And I keep my eyes out peeled for when they tell us the coast is clear, but I haven't seen anything yet to indicate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Grable, I know that you would not necessarily say this yourself, but let me say this for the benefit of our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard Dr. Grable and his statements in relationship to what is a defense for your system to protect you if you've had the vaccination. And I'm not trying to give medical advice, and he's not doing that on the telephone either. But at the same time, Dr. Grable, if we have anybody listening that they're searching for an answer, searching for a physician that they can place trust and confidence in, are you willing at this point to give a contact, either a website or a telephone number that somebody could call if they're seeking medical advice and to seek a physician that will be helpful for them in their journey to allay the worries and the fear of where they are medically speaking?
Oh, absolutely. The best way, what I would do is just go to my website, which is pretty simple. It's Dr. Grable, so that's drgrable.com. And I've got all my contact info on there and phone numbers, et cetera. And they can read a little bit about my belief system and how I practice. And I'm, you know, just for the record, I'm not anti-medicine. I mean, I write for medicines every day. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I wanted to mention this, Reverend. If you look at vaccines in theory, they work similarly to homeopathics, which are very dilute solutions of things to help treat patients. The problem with vaccines is all the adjuvants and even retroviruses, unknown viruses that get into the vaccine through cell culture that wreak all kinds of havoc in the body. So I think that much of the problem we've seen with vaccines have to do with all of these toxic adjuvants and unknown viruses in there. I do want to mention one other thing here, if I might.
Go ahead.
Looking at, you know, back in December of 2020, when Pfizer introduced these COVID shots, by the end of February of 21, that's just a couple months later, they had already received over 1,200 reports of deaths and over 2,000 reports of cardiac disorders, 23 cases of spontaneous abortions. If you look back at the swine flu vaccine, that was halted after 27 deaths back in the 70s.
Yes.
So this should have been, as of February 21, when they got this data in, that should have, at that point, automatically caused these shots to be stopped. So many now are literally accusing these companies of genocide. And just for the record, Pfizer has a criminal record with the U.S. Department of Justice. So it's the only big pharma company that has a criminal record in the United States.
Absolutely. That's one of the things, Dr. Grable, if I can link on to what you've just said. That's one of the things that President Trump is now saying, and through the mouthpiece of Robert Kennedy. Okay, you claim these things are efficacious. You claim your vaccination does not harm or hurt. You claim that it does not sterilize, paralyze, or kill the patient. Show us the data. And it's the very data that you just spoke of that they've been keeping under wraps and not being told. And so the general public, those that are listening today, have no earthly idea, in my opinion, of what we're talking about in relationship to the harm, the danger, and the damage. Would you go back in just one more time, for the benefit of the listeners, repeat some of that data that's been kept under wraps by Big Pharma?
So the Pfizer came out with their vaccine in December of 2020. By the end of February of 2021, which is a couple months later, they had received more than 1,200 reports of deaths from the vaccine, tens of thousands of reported adverse events, including 23 cases of spontaneous abortions, and more than 2,000 reports of cardiac disorders. These are just what was reported. You know, you and I both know that reporting is way underreported.
Yes.
There's which is the Vaccine Accident Reporting System, is estimated to be, it's either one or less than 10% of what the actual statistics are. So these numbers could actually be much greater than that.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's alarming to me, Dr. Grable, and I'd like to have your take on it. I'm looking at headlines that the latest update on COVID-19 treatments and preventive medications in the pipeline. It's a 30-some-odd page document on that that I have reviewed, and I've just highlighted a couple of points. Many medications are available to treat COVID-19, including oral treatments such as Paxlovid. And understand from the reading of the article, Paxlovid is simply a pill form of what Pfizer has been doing in the vaccination. Are you familiar with that?
Somewhat. I don't prescribe these medicines, but yes. And another little interesting fun fact, Reverend, is, you know, we were talking about remdesivir and how bad that drug is. Just for your listeners' interest, that drug, Fauci was testing for Ebola back around 2014, and the drug was so bad they had to pull it off the market because it was killing people. Well, now what they're doing is they're giving the same thing under the trade name Velcury, V-E-K-L-U-R-Y. It's the same thing as remdesivir.
Yes.
And, you know, these hospitals are not telling patients this, and they're still giving this stuff. I mean, it's amazing to me.
I'm looking at that article, and it touches on very similar to what you just stated. A recent study found that COVID antivirals like Paxlovid, which is remdesivir, don't typically contribute to the antiviral resistance. They may lead to other major mutations, end quote. It's frightening when we see what's being done. I'm going to touch on this, and then we'll take our next caller, Dr. Grable. I'm looking at headlines that says drug courts and COVID-19. Given the increase of rates of confirmed cases of COVID-19 nationwide and CDC guidance, courts across the country have suspended operations, and many, such as Vermont and Pennsylvania, have declared judicial emergencies. Such judicial emergencies allow for an orderly suspension of the court operations, delaying deadlines, and allowing for teleconferencing as being appropriate. And it goes on to talk about, as you know, we had the immunity that was given to all of the big pharma. But I did not realize until recently, Dr. Grable, and perhaps you can enlighten me, that we had what's called drug courts, that if you've been hurt, harmed, or family members killed because of the CDC FDA protocol, that you could file suit against the federal government in what is called drug court. And I'm finding that several of these cases are based on the fact that the CDC, the FDA, and the World Health Organization were saying na-na-na-na-na-na-na on ivermectin, and now it's been, as you know, proven that it is absolutely efficacious to be used in case of COVID or other infections. And now in the drug courts, they're giving relief for those that have filed suit based on that. Ponder that for a moment while we take our next caller. I believe I have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, I wonder if it would be proper for Dr. Grable to right now give the name or the website of where the general public can buy ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine at a very low cost and without need for a hospital or doctor.
Dr. Graber, would you like to respond to that?
Hi, Derby. Yeah,
hi.
You know, so one of my patients told me about, I think it's ivermectin.com. I've not pursued that. I found that when I prescribe it to a local compounding pharmacist, I can do it at a fairly equivalent cost. But if you look up alldaychemist.com, alldaychemist.com, just like it sounds, it's an Indian pharmacy. And last time I checked with them, and I've bought from them a couple times myself, they're around $1.92 for a 12-milligram tablet, which is a reasonably good price. The problem is it takes 3 to 4 weeks to come in. But if you don't have any problem waiting, then I think that's perfectly fine. You know, my belief is, I think they're trying to, I think the government will likely try to find some way to ban ivermectin. I get William Mackus's Substack. He's a brilliant oncologist from Alberta, Canada, And up there, they're trying to make ivermectin illegal because we're seeing it, without going down another rabbit hole, they're finding ivermectin and fenbendazole is good for disorders that begin with the C word. Let me just put it that way.
Absolutely.
But go ahead.
In fact, Dr. Grable, to further elaborate on Derby's question, I've used the alldaychemistry.com for some time, and I believe you originally recommended that to me several years ago. And you get 100 ivermectin, 12.5, I believe it is, milligram, and it's $1 a piece plus, I think it's $10 or $12 for shipping. And last time I got some, it was 6 weeks in transmission from there to here. Sometimes it's interdicted by some of our wonderful border czars that didn't want it to come into America, but it's a dollar piece. And if you go to a local pharmacy, if they even have it, between $4.50 and $6.50 per pill rather than a dollar a pill. So, Derby, I hope that's a benefit for you. Thank you for calling. I believe we have Santiago on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, the reason I believe the vaccine, they try to, like the doctor said, change the mapping of the DNA. When you change the mapping of the DNA in the body, you know, you are susceptible to any disease or whatever they try to put in the system. And I remember when I used to vaccine every year for the flu, and all the time I was sick. Now, since almost 6 years or 7 years, I don't use the flu shot, you know, and I never get sick, you know. That's one reason. I don't know. I don't encourage nobody to use the flu shot, but whoever you want to do it, do it. But I don't use it no more. Thank you. God bless you. And thank you, the doctor, for your comments.
Thank you so much, Santiago. I'm in your corner. What do you say, Dr. Grable?
Yes, the flu shots, they don't work. they don't put them up as any kind of placebo. And I can't tell you how many patients anecdotally have said to me, shortly after they got the flu shot, they got sick. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is just such a huge scam. One of the things we haven't touched on that I think is crucially important for your audience to understand is the dramatic increase in autism over the last several decades. I don't know if people knew this, but back around 1970, the incidence of autism in this country was about 1 in 10,000. It's now 1 in 31. Mm. And there are some places in California, it's 1 in the teens. Stephanie Seneff with MIT, brilliant, you know, 4 PhDs, brilliant. She says, then our present trajectory, by 2032, 1 in 2 boys will be autistic.
Sad commentary on what is called medicine.
This is an existential crisis, as they love to, you know, use these terms. But I think people have got to wake up, and, you know, the data is just, to me, it's overwhelming.
Absolutely. One of the things that is causes great consternation for me, Dr. Grable, is to recognize that the very ones that we've thought for years were there to protect us, quote, our government, CDC, FDA, NIH, et cetera, World Health Organization has been a joke since it was started. But for all of those agencies that we were embracing as telling us truth, and at one time, and I say this very openly, and you've heard me before, at one time I could go to a physician, and he would say, you've coughed here, you've done this, you've got the ache here, this is what you need, et cetera, only to find out today that the average physician, in my opinion, just scrolls down the CDC protocol on the website, and I think there's about 350 pages, says you cough twice, you've got a headache here, your left leg hurts, et cetera, this is the pill that CDC says to take. And as a result of that, we're finding that we're not having medical treatment anymore. We've simply got those that are working for the hospitals, the medical associations, that get paid handsomely if they recommend certain pharmaceuticals, certain drugs, certain jabs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I see in the system. And when you hear with Kennedy's interrogation the other day by the House and the Senate committee, as an appropriations committee, should have never been subjected to that in that kind of committee. But anyway, here's Pocahontas, as she's called, Senator Warren, and she's chewing Robert Kennedy out, and he says, well, we all know that you accepted $880,000 from Big Pharma, so therefore you're advocating for them. And I'm finding that's a very, very troubling factor when we find both sides of the aisle, House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, where they're being paid handsomely to be an advocate for them. Our House and Senate become simply, advocators for Big Pharma. How can we trust that? Only to find that they're lobbying for Big Pharma rather than protecting the general public. I'm concerned about that. Do you see a concern in that? Is there an answer to it, in your opinion?
It's a great question, Reverend. There's a severe conflict of interest. And my personal belief is, and of course this will never happen in my lifetime, but I think that financial lobbying should be outlawed. I think probably about the only representative in Congress that I trust is Thomas Massie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's about the only guy who really stands up and speaks truth. Now, to give him credit, Senator Johnson, I think he's doing a great job, and there's a handful of others. But I think the majority of them have been bought off, and it's very frustrating, including our judiciary. I mean, there are judges that are dictating law from the bench, and so I don't know what the answer is other than us making our voices heard.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I find disconcerting along that line is here, by the way, Robert Massie, you just spoke of, he is the only Republican voice that advocated against, by the way, Robert Kennedy in his interrogation the other day. And his position was that he was accusing Kennedy of saying no vax. And Kennedy kept repeating, I'm not saying no vax. I'm saying that it should be a choice. And Robert Massie even said, well, wouldn't that be true then that would cause thousands, if not millions, of kids to die as a result of that? And the mindset is, as I saw it through him and others, that because you say there's freedom of choice, all of a sudden you're saying don't take the vax. How do you balance that in your thinking, and how should our listeners view it?
You know, there's a concept called cognitive dissonance, and the public and physicians have been so massaged to believe certain things that it's very difficult to get them to look at the truth. And so, you know, I think that Kennedy, I think he's done a good job. He had sent a couple thousand vaccines to Texas early on, you know, earlier this spring, which I was a little bit of a head scratcher. But I think in general, I think he walks a tightrope. He's got a tough job. And I think he's trying very hard to just bring science in. And, you know, previous to COVID, you know, these vaccines had never been put up to any kind of double blind study.
Correct.
And even COVID, you know, when they say, well, we did a double blind study, they based their results on around 200, 300 people out of 44,000, which is nothing. And there was a couple thousand people they just cut right out of the study because apparently they were probably showing things they didn't want to see. Mm-hmm. So there's just been tremendous manipulation of the statistics and data. And it's high time that's why I started out my conversation today with you about that Henry Ford. Your audience hopefully can look into that a little bit, because this could be a big game changer. I mean, they'll try to bury this, but I think the cat's out of the bag, as they say.
I'm thankful for that, too, and I'm delighted that with your insight, foresight, and medical expertise in guiding us. And another time, before we have our exit question and wrap up our dialogue and discussion today, tell our listeners how they could reach you if they're, any of our listeners may be looking for medical care and or pleased with some of the things that you've said and need to follow up on a need in their life. How can they reach your office, and what would be their contact information?
Well, my website is drgrable, drgrable.com, And for those who like phone numbers, it's 904-247-7455, 904-247-7455. But if they go to my website, they can kind of see what my philosophy is. And, you know, basically, I just try to use the best of both worlds. As I said earlier, I'm not anti-medicine. I just think we have to be more judicious in how we're using medicines and not just jump to them.
Yes, absolutely. Now, one other question, and maybe it will lead to others, but looking at headlines, says, Dr. Fauci may finally get what he deserves thanks to this Republican senator. Senator Rand Paul calls for Fauci to face charges over his congressional testimony. Let me just go, it's a 3-4 page article. Let me take one step further. Should those that deceived us in NIH, FDA, CDC, Fauci and others, should they be, as I use the term, caught, tried, convicted, and imprisoned for the mass genocide and for the deception that they promulgated across the nation that caused multitudes of sterilizations, paralyzations, and deaths? What are your thoughts on that? And listen, let me just put a little parenthetical footnote. I'm not saying that we need to go out for revenge, but I believe we need to have justice. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I'm looking here at an article by Ziwiec, Z-Y-W-I-E-C, he, McCullough, and Merrick, and others. Just read this first little thing, if I might. Abstract: compelling evidence shows the SARS-CoV-2 and SARS-CoV-2 modified mRNA vaccines are products of gain-of-function research, which was supposedly banned by the government, with genomic features and vaccine outcomes suggesting deliberate engineering rather than natural evolution. Far from benign, these vaccines unleash profound harm, disrupting every energy system in the body and contributing unprecedented levels of morbidity and mortality. So the short answer is yes, I think these people should be taken to court and justly punished, because they knew full well what they were doing. If you listen to David Martin, who's brilliant on this stuff, he says this stuff actually goes back to 1999. So they've known for two decades what they were doing. They had it all planned, and there was no, this is no accident.
In fact, there have been multiple patents that have been granted, some to Fauci and or others, back way before it was announced anything about COVID. Speak to that for about 10, 15 seconds before we close.
Well, how about the fact that they had a patent for COVID vaccine in 2015?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that one.
Yes, absolutely.
That was before that COVID ever even came. So this has been in the works for some time, and you know, we could maybe on a different time talk about depopulation, that kind of stuff. But I think that these people, they knew what they were doing. They did it deliberately. They had the media in their back pocket, and there have been, you know, 75% of the world's population has gotten these jabs. It's
absolutely horrific. And we could call that, for wrap up, simply demonic deception that's been bought into. Dr. Grable, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester.